All right, you got your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 13. Going to continue talking about the atmosphere of revival. And I tell you what I want to do this morning is I want to ask you, if you would, before we get into God's Word, to stand to your feet. And if you're physically able, go ahead, let's stand to our feet. I want us to just activate our faith this morning to receive from God. That as we're here today, we're about doing so much more than just singing some good songs and having a good message. We're here this morning to experience and encounter the living God. We're here this morning to be set free from some things that have held us back. We're here this morning to grow and go deeper and further in God, who He is and who you are in God. But I just sense there's just a need for us to just take a moment this morning and just activate our personal faith and even just shift the atmosphere over our hearts so that we're in a better position to receive from God this morning. What He wants to speak to you. What He wants to show you. What He wants to set you free from. What He wants to, the ways that He wants to strengthen you to connect to more of who you are in Him. So right where you are, I'm going to pray over us all, but right where you are this morning, would you, wherever you stand this morning, whatever your circumstances and situations are today, I don't know what they are, but God does and He cares. And right where you are today, would you just open your heart? Would you activate personal faith this morning to receive from God's word this morning? Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather together as your people in your presence and in your name. And Lord, we just pray that our hearts would be softened this morning to receive from you. Holy Spirit, you're welcome to come this morning and just in the way that you do so lovingly and graciously, Lord, just show us the places that you would speak to us. Show us the ways that you would set us free this morning. Show us the places where we've carried weights that you want us to lay down this morning. Show us this morning the ways that you want to strengthen us and equip us and build us up more into the mighty men and women of God that you've called us to be and you've made possible for us to be in Jesus Christ. And we just pray, Lord, that our hearts and minds would be centered and focused, alive, active, alert, and soft and open, Lord, to receive from you. And I just pray, Lord, that right now, over this precious body, over every man, every woman, every young person, that there would just be a faith stirring for what you're going to do in their life today. That there would be a faith stirring over their hearts this morning for what you want to do in their hearts today. Lord, that there would be faith stirring for what it is that you're leading us to as a church and as individuals, as families. We just thank you. We offer up our worship this morning. We open up our hearts in Jesus' mighty name and all God's precious people said. Come on with the shout, say amen. Amen. All right, you can be seated. So we're talking about the atmosphere for revival, and it's what we're seeking and believing for in our church, a revival that's characterized or evidenced by many people being saved, healed, set free, many people being strengthened to stand in God's word, many people being strengthened by connecting to a spiritual family, and not just strengthened to stand, but then moving forward in God's purposes for your life. And so we're talking about revival, and we have a lot of understandings about what that is, and what it's not is it's not an event. It's not just something that we put on a calendar, because when it's that, we tend to visit it and go back to our normal lives. Revival is a lifestyle. Revival is a continual, a daily, an ongoing process of becoming more alive in Christ, of becoming more devoted to Christ, of becoming more passionate for Jesus. That's what revival is about, our hearts becoming alive. It's an ongoing, it's a daily thing, it's a lifestyle, and it's for you, and it's for now. It's not something that's far off. Because of what Jesus did and because His presence and His Spirit is here with us, it's for now, and it's for you. Come on, not just for your neighbor. It's for you this morning, this life of revival. And in our lives, in our church, in our city, listen, there's an atmosphere that will either hinder or will release revival to take place. Over your life, over this church, over our city, there's an atmosphere that will either hinder or will release revival to take place. Atmosphere is important. That's why we're taking some time to talk about it. God responds to atmosphere. We respond to atmosphere. And we live in a natural atmosphere, but there's a spiritual atmosphere over your life that's oftentimes either filled with faith and hope and life and freedom, or it's characterized by fear and doubt and worry and anxiety. There's an atmosphere over your life, and it's where our key scripture, our core scripture for our series, Matthew chapter 13, talks about It's the parable of the sower, and it talks about the significance of atmosphere. It says that there was seed that was sown, and in some places it fell onto rocky soil or hard soil, and it sprang up but quickly withered away. And in other places, the birds came and ate. In other places, it fell on fertile, good, deep, rich soil, an atmosphere where the seeds of God could spring forth and grow and bear fruit. Atmosphere affects the seeds of God. And listen to me, every person, you've heard me say it, in the life of every person, there are seeds of greatness, there are seeds of purpose, there are seeds of kingdom, God-given potential. But that is no guarantee that you'll experience and enjoy the life and the fruit that God intended for you and for those around you when he sowed those seeds into your life. You've got to present them in the atmosphere of faith. You've got to present them in an atmosphere of God's presence. You've got to keep them in the atmosphere where they can spring forth and begin to grow. And not just grow, but begin to come to maturity to yield the fruit that God intends for you to enjoy and those around you to experience and enjoy as well. Atmosphere is important, so we've got to learn to discern when there's an atmosphere over our life that's limiting or hindering the ability for the work of God to advance in our life. And then I've encouraged you beginning last week, and I'm going to pick up on it today and finish the message, that it's possible when you discern that there's an atmosphere that's hindering the work of God in your life, over your heart, over your mind, over your marriage, over your family, an atmosphere of anxiety, an atmosphere of strife, an atmosphere of depression or discouragement, an atmosphere of pity, and whatever it is that might be hindering or limiting or coming against you, that it's possible to shift the atmosphere, that God's given us weapons, he's given us tools, he's given us steps that we can take as believers to call upon him and to begin to appropriate some things that he made possible and that he's given to us as believers to begin to shift that atmosphere where there was peace, where there was anxiety rather, or fear, for there to begin to be peace and for there to begin to be faith. It's possible to shift the atmosphere. That's the good news this morning. So I want to continue to talk about shifting the atmosphere, the steps that we can take to establish an atmosphere of faith over the seeds of God that he's sown into your life. And it's by faith that those things are going to come to pass. And the Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I encouraged you last week that we've got to begin to discover our voice. You've got to begin to discover your voice. You can't afford to just be hearing faith on Sundays and Wednesdays. You can't afford to contract it out just to your pastor. You've got to begin to develop the ability to begin to speak and to begin to declare and to begin to pray God's will and his word and his heart over your life and your home, your marriage, your children, your finances, your future. Faith comes by hearing, and some of you need to begin to hear yourself speaking and proclaiming and reminding yourself about who God is and what he's spoken over your life. Faith comes by hearing. So we're talking about prayer, and perhaps nothing, maybe praise will be up there, and I'll get to that here in a week or two, but perhaps nothing shifts the atmosphere over a situation. Perhaps nothing shifts the atmosphere over a church. Perhaps nothing shifts the atmosphere over a precious city like Lawrence, Kansas, and the surrounding areas, like when a people begin to pray. And what we're believing God to do in our lives and what we're believing God to do in this church and what we're believing God to do in this city and in this region and to the corners of our nation and even around the world is too big for us to do in our own strength. It's too much for us to do in our own wisdom. We've got to be a people that are desperately praying and crying out to God, saying, God, send your presence. God, come and do, come and empower everything that we plan and prepare, the songs, the messages, the programs, the life groups, the marriage ministries, all those things. Would you show up in those places and would you do the things that we cannot do? Would you set people free? Would you heal people's hearts? Would you strengthen and equip them to begin to move forward in the purposes of God for their life? What we're believing God to do is too big for us to do in our own strength. Revival is always, if you study it, if you look at it, it's always preceded by a people who begin to recommit themselves and gather to call upon the name of the Lord, to begin to repent and begin to cry out and to begin to invite the presence of God in a new way. Come on, this is true over your life, over your heart, over your home. It's not just corporate, it's personal, it's both. It's over this church, but it's also you. The way that you'll experience personal revival is a rededication and a recommitment and a fresh pursuit to begin to experience the presence of God. And prayer is one of the ways that we invite the presence of God into our very midst. Prayer is one of the greatest ways to begin to shift the atmosphere over your heart, over your life. So I want to get in today to begin to talk about some of the things that when we're diligent, when we're focused, when we break through. And how many of you know you feel the challenges, you feel the resistance to prayer? The enemy always opposes the things of God that offer the most breakthrough in life and freedom to us. And so it's no coincidence that many of us have a difficult time experiencing and beginning to step into praying. We get distracted. We get tired. We don't know the words. We feel attacked in our identity. The enemy is constantly opposing the things that have the opportunity to bring us the most life and freedom and breakthrough in God. But when we're able, and that's why we're talking about it, I mean, we must be a people that are not just hearers of God's word, but doers. It's an understanding that we really must begin to personally and corporately begin to pray and cry out to God. When we do that, it begins to shift the atmosphere over our life. And I want to remind you of some things that when you pray, the things that begin to occur in your heart, things that begin to happen over your life, things that begin to establish a new and better atmosphere where the things of God can begin to grow and spring forth in your life. Number one is when we pray, when we recognize that we need to go before God and see something shift and established over our heart. When we pray, it reminds us of our identity in God. Jesus said, when he was instructing us how to pray, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9, what did he say? He said, say, Father, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. And Jesus said, if anyone asks in my name, Father in Jesus' name, listen, that statement right there, Father in Jesus' mighty name, is one of the greatest ways to just remind yourself of your identity in Christ. You're a child of the Most High God, and it's been made possible through Jesus Christ, the greatest big brother that the world has ever known. Listen, you heard me say it before. He's the greatest big brother you could ever have. And how many of you had some big brothers that you like to have been more Christ-like? The good news is Jesus is the greatest big brother you could ever ask for. Man, he loves you so much. He loves you so much. He came down to the playground of life and he punched the devil right in the mouth. And he said, quit pushing my little brother. Quit pushing my little sister around. I'm defeating you once and for all. And I'm making a way for my brother and my sister who's been far off, who's been lost, who's gone after his or her own way. And I'm making a way for it to be possible for him or her to be welcomed home, back into the family. Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, when you pray those things, it can just kind of become ritualistic, or we just kind of say it. Really meditate on what you're saying. Perhaps nothing reminds you of the identity that you have than that just simple statement, my Father, you're a good Father. I'm not praying to some far-off God that doesn't care. I'm praying to a Heavenly Father who cares deeply and who cares passionately for my every need and my every hope and my every dream and my every concern. Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Reminds you of your identity in Christ. Listen, perhaps one of the greatest schemes of the enemy is to cause you to doubt or to lose track of or lose sight of your identity in Christ. Can I just tell you, the sooner, listen to me, young people. Young people, hear me this morning. I wish I could go back in time and I could have someone preach this to me and I could receive it in a deep place in my heart and begin to walk it out. I could have saved myself and my parents a lot of heartache and a lot of trouble. The sooner you get, and listen, I'm talking to young people, but how about, can we just all say that applies to you? How about that? Who's willing to consider yourself young today in this place? Come on, how many of you know that age is just a number? Young people this morning, hear me, the sooner that you can begin, you can just settle it, that your identity is found in Christ and Christ alone. And not in what other people say, and not in what other people think, and not in what other people are doing, and not in who you're seen with, and not in the circle that you run with. And the sooner that you can just settle, my identity is found in Christ and Him alone. And the purposes of God are what I'm pursuing. I don't care what people are doing, and I don't care what they say, and I don't care what they think. The sooner you can settle that, come on, the better off that you're going to be. Yeah, come on, if you're going to put your hands together for Jesus, let's do it. Reminds you of your identity, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. When we pray, it makes us grateful, which builds an atmosphere of faith over our lives. Psalm 95, verse 2 says, let us come before him with thanksgiving. Psalm 100, verse 4 says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Listen, remembering what God has done as we pray. Coming before God, that's saying, come before him with thanksgiving. Like, there's something powerful about opening up our prayers by just taking some time to give thanks for what God has already done. I believe that God's a jealous God, but he's not a selfish God. And he's unpacking something for us right there. He's saying, it moves my heart when you come before me with thanksgiving. Because how many know we tend to, we kind of fall into the trap of just coming before God with just our every need that we have. My needs, my challenges, my wants, my lacks. And it says, enter into his presence with thanksgiving. Come before him with thanksgiving. I think there's just something powerful when we take some time with intentionality to just remind ourselves about what God's already done in our life. I think it opens the heart of the king to want to do more for us. And it builds an atmosphere of faith for God to move in the challenges that you're facing today. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. For that is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Listen, it says in all things, not for all things. You don't have to give thanks for the thing, but you in the thing, you can still find a way to give thanks. You can still find a way to give thanks. Listen, when you're going through something, don't get stuck in the middle of a challenge, in the middle of an obstacle, in the middle of a dry season, in the middle of a place where you find yourself just questioning, what, God, what are you up to? What are you doing? Don't get stuck. How many of you remember, how many of you are old enough? Oh, this is dangerous. How many of you are old enough to remember Polaroid cameras? Remember the Polaroid camera? If you're here, and how many of you don't remember? Who doesn't know what a Polaroid camera is? Let me see your hand. Google it. You remember the Polaroid camera? You know, I mean, you would. It was this big, giant, clunky thing, you know. And you remember, you would take a picture, and the thing would go, and it would go, and this thing would come out of it, you know, like it would take forever. You remember? Can you see it? And then what would you do? You'd take that Polaroid thing that came out, you know, and it had the white frame around it, you know, and the little film on the inside of it. And what would you do? You would like shake it like it was that was gonna make it happen faster, you know, or something. I don't know if that really worked or not, but you would shake it, remember? Well, let me encourage you with something this morning. The enemy of your soul operates like a Polaroid. He wants to take a snapshot of your life, the way it looks right now, and he wants to say, see, this is the way it's going to be. He wants to take a snapshot of your pain. He wants to take a snapshot of your marriage. He wants to take a snapshot of your trial. He wants to take a snapshot of your lack, and he wants to say, see, this is what life is going to be like for you. And I'm encouraging you this morning, when you're going through a moment where if you just looked at the moment, you could be challenged. Let me encourage you. Let me say it this way. When you're going through hell, don't stop. Keep moving. Turn the page. God's not done with you. God's still writing the book of your life. And in the book of your life, just like in the life of many people that God reveals to us and speaks to us through in his word, in our lives, just as in theirs, there are going to be chapters that are difficult. There are going to be chapters that are painful. There are going to be chapters where we wonder, where's God in the midst of all this? But I'm telling you that what the word of God says is true. If you'll just keep walking, if you'll just keep pursuing, if you'll just stay close to God, and you're not allow the enemy to come and separate you or discourage you or distract you. The plans of God are good towards you. He has a hope and he has a future for you. And the thing that God began, according to his word, he will bring it to pass. When you're going through hell, don't get stuck. Don't allow the enemy to just say, to take a snapshot of your life and say, this is how it's going to be. Keep moving in God. Keep moving in God. In all things, it says, give thanks. Just stay thankful. Stay humble. Stay focused on pursuing God. When we give thanks for the things that God's already done, it shifts the atmosphere and begins to build an atmosphere of faith over our life. Listen, God's the God of yesterday, today, and forever. The cross of Jesus Christ was so perfect. It covered the sin and the shame and the guilt of our past. It secured our present with an identity in Christ, and it secured the hope of our future. We all have issues. Some more challenging than others, but let me encourage you that the same thing is true. We all have something to be grateful for. Even in the midst of your challenge, man, you've got something to be grateful for. And listen, if you know Jesus Christ and you've experienced the saving power of Jesus Christ and what it means to be born again and washed clean and reconnected to your Heavenly Father, transferred from the darkness, from the kingdom of darkness to a kingdom of light, finding your identity in Christ, listen, there's always something to be grateful for, amen? When we pray for people, when we pray for others, rather, it gives us perspective, which makes us even more grateful. I want to encourage you to be intentional to pray for the needs of others. James 5, verse 16 says it very plainly. It says, pray for one another. And it goes on to say, the fervent prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. And let me just encourage you, one of the greatest ways to shift the atmosphere over your life, over your circumstances, over your situations, is to pray for others. Pray for others. Pray for others. Listen, sometimes I don't know if it's just me, but I can feel like I've got it pretty bad. You know, I mean, maybe you've received the invitation to the party I was throwing, the pity party for myself, you know. I've received a few of your invitations. I'm not going to point at anyone. But I feel like sometimes I can get stuck, and I get so focused on the challenges I'm up against, and it just becomes so close and so near to me that I forget about all the things I have grateful for, and I forget about the fact that the stuff that I'm going through is really nothing compared to the things that some people around the world are going through. And some of the things that I'm going through right now are not even as bad as some of the things that people right here in this very church, right here and now, are going through. And when I'm faced with challenges and I've got problems and I feel discouraged, man, sometimes it just helps to begin to shift the atmosphere over my life when I'm mindful and intentional to begin to pray for the precious woman in this church who just recently lost her spouse. When I begin to pray for the family that lost a child in an untimely way. Listen, when I begin to pray for the Christians all around the world who are being persecuted. Oh my gosh, come on, hear me this morning. Christians in Syria are being burned at the stake. And listen, I know I'm about to step on some toes. But in the West, the problems we have at church are parking problems, coffee temperature problems, the strength of the coffee, it's either too strong or it's too weak. Someone ate the last cherry-filled donut. Someone sat in the seat that I normally sit in. Come on, I mean, it's kind of funny, right? But it can't, I mean, maybe it, if any of these hit real squarely in your heart, you know, maybe you got some work, some business to do with God after the service today. You know, we're going to pray for people afterwards. But I'm trying to just help you to see that a lot of times some of the stuff that we're up against, the problems that we're facing, are really pretty light and trivial compared to this, some of the stuff that's going on in people's lives around the world and even right here in this very town. And my encouragement to you is that when we pray for those other people, as James 5 says, it makes a difference. It says the fervent prayer, the determined, the focus, the prayer of righteous people, that's you and that's me, those who are made right with God through Jesus Christ, it accomplishes a great deal. It's going to make a difference in the lives of those people. It's going to invite the presence of God to begin to work in their life, but it also does something in our own life. It causes us to become more grateful for what God's done, and it causes us to become more self-aware about sometimes just how little the problems are that we have compared to the problems of others. So one of the greatest ways to shift the atmosphere over your own heart is to pray for others. When we pray, it makes us more like Jesus. Listen, you tend to become more like the people that you hang out with. You tend to become more like the people that you hang out with. And I'm playing on a basketball team, a Lawrence Rec League basketball team that plays on Sunday nights. And I'm easily one of the worst players on the team. I probably should just eliminate the words one of right there and just say the. But let me just tell you something. Chet Kiefer said this recently, it stuck with me. I'd rather be the worst player on a great team than the best player on a bad team. And there's something about getting around people who are achieving and who are excellent in an area. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to stop growing. Like, I want to be around people who challenge me. I want to be around people who cause me to dream a little bit bigger. I want to be around people who really have accomplished some things and who are reaching for some things. And it's why, as a staff, we're reading books of other from other pastors and churches who have experienced breakthrough in their church and in their city. It's why I go to conferences and I'm taking notes, man, and I'm trying to learn. I want to get better. I don't want to be the best. I want to have something to be looking forward to and looking ahead to. Listen, it's true in any area of your life. You want to be around people who are causing you to dream a little bit bigger and who are challenging you to excel a little bit more and who are showing you the way to accomplish a little bit more. I want to be around people that are, listen, I want to soar with the eagles, not scratch with the chickens. In every area of life, in my journey with Christ, man, I want to be around people who are faith-filled and who are dreaming with God and who know God and can show me and teach me some things about how God's moved in their life. And I'm just telling you, if you realize this morning that you've been scratching around with the chickens, maybe you need to shift the atmosphere over some relationships. And begin to identify some people that you can get around. Begin to identify a life group that you can begin to get in that'll cause your marriage to begin to go to a new level and a new place. Begin to get around some men who are really pursuing God and let them begin to disciple you and equip you and show you how to become a better man of God. But listen, the number one person that you can be around that will change you is the presence of God. As much as we need people to influence us, the number one person that needs to be influencing you is the Holy Spirit. And when we pray, it's an invitation to God to begin to invade our life and begin to invade our circumstances and our situations. And I can't help but begin to become more like the people that I hang around. When I'm around the presence of God, it's like a full-length mirror that begins to just show me some things that I really don't like about myself too much. But God is so gracious and he's so merciful. And in his presence, he begins to show me some of those things. The Holy Spirit, listen, the enemy condemns. There's no condemnation according to Romans chapter 8 for those who are in Christ Jesus. But the Holy Spirit will convict you. The Holy Spirit will begin to just shine his gracious, gentle light to just begin to show you some ways that maybe you need to become more like Christ. So let me just speak for myself. When I get in the presence of God in prayer, the Holy Spirit just begins to graciously just show me some of the ways that I can become more like Jesus. And listen, I fall into this a lot. I tend to pray more for my circumstances than I do the condition of my own heart. And Proverbs 4:23 says, to guard your heart with all diligence, because out of your heart determines the course of your life. Out of your heart flows the issues of your life. And so I think the psalmist had it. He kind of nailed it when in Psalm 51, he cried out to God, and this is a prayer of the psalmist. He said, create in me, O God, a clean heart. Renew in me, O God, a steadfast, or another translation says, loyal spirit to you. And I just think it ought to be one of the things that with intentionality we begin to pray is, because how many of you know, can you feel that? We get caught up in the praying for the stuff. And what the Bible says right there is that when you begin to just pray for God to just begin to shape and heal and mold your heart and build your character to become more like Christ, it's funny how all the other stuff begins to just fall into place. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Help me to be humble. Or if there's any place where I've become prideful, God, would you just show me? Help me, God, to have your character. Help me, God, to be patient. Patient with that person at work. Patient with my children. God, help my character to become more like Christ. Help the fruit of my life to begin to be more of the fruit and the evidence that your Holy Spirit is working in my life and less of my own flesh, less of my own nature. Create in me a clean heart, O God. When you pray, it begins to shift the atmosphere over your life and make you more like Jesus. Number five is it lightens your load. When we pray, it lightens the load over your life. Listen, one of the most suffocating atmospheres, we're talking about shifting the atmosphere, one of the most suffocating atmospheres that will keep you from walking in the joy of God and will keep you from walking in the purposes of God is an atmosphere of anxiety. An atmosphere of anxiety, an atmosphere of fear, an atmosphere of depression. In fact, worship team, go ahead and just come up and join Chet up here. We're getting ready to close with a worship song and ask the Lord to really just touch our hearts this morning before we close. Listen, prayer is an invitation from God. Prayer is an invitation from God to lay those things down. to lay down the anxieties, to lay down the fears, to lay down the cares and the concerns. 1 Peter 5, verse 7 says, cast all of your anxiety upon him, for he cares about you. And another translation says, give all your carries, your worries, rather, and cares to God, for he cares for you. Listen, God is our, Jesus is our shepherd, and we are the sheep of his pasture, right? Can I just encourage you with something? Sheep don't make good pack animals. You've never seen a pack sheep, right? I mean, think about it. When you load up a sheep with a bunch of stuff, what happens? He just tips over, right? How many of us, man, we just carry stuff. We just keep packing it on. We just carry it around. He says, cast it on me. Lay it on me. Listen, many of us need to just quit trying to carry things that are intended to be laid at the foot of the cross. Burdens, worries, concerns, challenges. Prayer is an invitation from a good Heavenly Father to lay them down. Listen, you can trust him. You can trust him with those things in your life. And listen, let me just encourage you with something this morning. You're much better off presenting them to the Lord than you are the gal down at the office. God's a much more trustworthy place to present those cares and worries and anxieties than the guy at the water cooler. Psalm 34:18 says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted. He saves those who are crushed in spirit. So listen, when you lay them before God, leave them there. Leave it there. I don't know how many times I kind of lay down a care, or lay down a burden, or lay down a worry, or lay down an anxiety, lay down a concern, and then I finish up my prayer time. It's just like, okay, I'll take that back, and I just put it right back on, or put it right back in my backpack, and just go about my day. And I think the heart of God is He really means it. He says, cast them on me, put them on me, lay them down and leave them. Lay them down and walk away. Come on, I think probably a good standard for when your prayer time with the Lord. Again, we're talking about something that we as believers must begin to do to experience the new atmosphere that God has for your life. And if we're just hearers of this and we don't begin to walk in it, we risk missing out on some things. But when we begin to pray, it's an invitation from God to lay this stuff down once and for all. And I think a good indication of whether your prayer time is finished and you're ready to go about your day or go about the mission that God's given you and get about the things that you've done is, are you no longer carrying anxiety, fear, and worry? Has your heart become centered in the peace of God and the identity of God and the goodness of God? Has the atmosphere in your heart as you've prayed begin to shift from fear and it's begun to be filled with faith? Has the atmosphere over your heart gone from anxiety and worry to an atmosphere of confidence and trust? When that begins to happen, maybe that's a good time for you to begin to just stand and go about the things that God's called you to. Amen. Those who wait upon the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will walk and not grow weary. They will run and not grow faint. According to Isaiah 40, verse 31, listen, prayer is an invitation from God to welcome his presence, to welcome his atmosphere into your life, into your heart. Listen, I just want to give several layers of people an opportunity to stand and respond to God, and then we're all going to stand, and we're going to close with this worship song this morning. And I just want to, you know, encourage you. We're a family here, and we're just real with one another. I want to encourage you. Don't ever put on your church mask and come to this church. Just come real before God. That's what I was encouraging with last week. I really appreciate the Book of Psalms because it's kind of the prayer journal for King David, and he's just real and raw, man. I mean, he's going through stuff, and he's just crying out to God. You're going through something this morning. I believe the presence of God is here to shift something for you today. I believe that that a good God is here this morning to bring hope to you today. A good God, a loving Father, is here this morning to bring freedom to you today. A good God, a good Father, is here to bring peace to your storm today. A good God, a good Heavenly Father, is here And he's inviting you, he's calling you, he's beckoning to you to come and lay down all the cares and anxieties and worries of your life at the foot of his cross today. And so this morning, if you realize that you've been carrying something that you weren't, that God doesn't intend for you to carry, fear, anxiety, maybe it's not even in your life, but some of us have a tendency to carry things for other people. If that's you this morning, I just want to give you an invitation to just stand to your feet in response to God. To just stand and say, God, that thing, I'm standing in faith today to just say, I want to lay it down once and for all. Come on, if that's you this morning, there's just an area of anxiety, fear, worry that you need to lay down at the foot of the cross today once and for all. Just stand to your feet. If you realize this morning that there's an atmosphere that needs to shift over your heart, maybe I didn't put my finger on it in particular, but there's some atmosphere, there's some mindset, there's some heart condition over your life that you discern, and by the goodness of God this morning, you just are realizing it's not God's very best for you. If that's you this morning, would you stand to your feet in a faith response to God? Just anything. I mean, this is a broad appeal. Just anything that you want God to shift this morning in the power of his presence. Thank you, Lord. Now can I just ask everyone to stand and prepare our hearts to just receive from God. As we sing this morning, I believe that what we're singing is going to happen in our lives, that chains are going to fall off of us, that fear is going to bow to the name of Jesus and to the goodness of our Heavenly Father, and that today we're going to lay some things down and begin to discover the opportunity and the invitation to begin to run with God in a new way, in a fresh way. So Lord, we thank you. We thank you for what you're about to do. We thank you, God, for your heart for us as your people. We thank you, God, that you desire for each of us to experience revival. It's not just about an event. It's not just about what happens in a church. It's a lifestyle that you've made possible for each of us. Our hearts revived, our hearts renewed, us coming to life every day and in a continual way, discovering more of what it means to live fully alive in Christ, discovering more of what it means to live fully alive and shining brightly in your purposes for our life, God. And any of the ways that the enemy's come and he's lied and he's stolen and he's deceived and he's put labels on us and he's put heavy weights and burdens upon us, or maybe we've even picked them up ourselves, God. Today, I thank you for an atmosphere in this place to set us free. I thank you for an atmosphere in this place to lay things down once and for all at the foot of the cross. I thank you today that many of us are going to leave this place lighter in our heart, lighter in our spirit, more ready to begin to run the race that God's called us to. And we thank you, God, that it's all because of Jesus. Our response today is just to receive. Our response today is just to, by faith, Lord, receive what you've made possible for us through Jesus Christ. So come on, team, just lead us in this. And come on, church, would you just sing this with all your heart? Would you make it real and personal for you today with whatever you're up against, with whatever you're facing? God wants to do something in your life today. God wants to send you out from this place today more free, more fully alive.
I saw in my heart when Pastor T had a stand, I saw people standing all over this place with big, like, mountain climbing backpacks, just like, ugh, standing up. And then some chains on people and all those different things that we carried. And I just want to, before we walk out of this place, there's some of you that are standing there still holding your backpack. And I just want to invite you. I saw this picture of this front area. Sometimes there's something significant about leaving something at the altar. Leaving something at the altar. And I saw this whole area just full of bags that were dusty and beaten and dirty and chains just all throughout here. And then it was awesome. In my mind, this just was playing out. I saw this angel come through with a bulldozer and just plowed it all off into the dump. And so I just want to just encourage you, if you feel like you took a step by standing, but you feel like, man, there's something that's still holding on. Prayer team, I want to invite you guys up to be here for those that want prayer, but some of you just may need to come up and symbolically just lay it at God's feet. God, I release it to you. I lay it at the cross, at the altar. I'm not taking it out of this building with me. And you guys know spiritual weight is real. Spiritual burdens are real. You've felt it, and you know God was speaking about something in your heart. So I want to encourage you, as this song plays, just for a few minutes here, this is an important moment. God's identified the burden, and it's time to let it go. It's time to lay it down. So let's just take a moment. I'm just going to pray, and I just want to encourage you, come up now. Come up now if God's called you to do it. Father God, thank you that you take every burden, Lord. You say that take your yoke on you. Your burden is easy, and your yoke is light, Father. You carry, you do the heavy lifting in our lives, Father. So we release anxiety, we release fear, we release sickness. Father, we release the stress of trying to rule our own lives, Father. We lay it at your feet, and we want to let it go and leave it here before you, Lord. And when Satan tries to grab it and chase us out the door, we will reject that fear, that anxiety, that stress, those burdens, those sins in Jesus' name. You take everything. You take everything. You changed everything, Father. Jesus, thank you that we rest and rejoice in your victory in Jesus' name. Amen. So don't leave. If that's you, you need to come up here. Just drop that thing at the altar. Release it to the Lord in worship. And for the rest of you, bless you. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. May your week be light as you let Jesus lead. Amen.